something. Wait. Could get for some pictures today.
Good to go.
All right, cool. Can we get somebody to take attendance reading, the attendance record up? Otherwise, I can pull it up.
No, would you, now that we have a clerk, would you prefer to do that each meeting?
I would prefer to have the clerk do it if possible.
Okay. So I'm just going to introduce Catherine Tran. She goes by Cat. She is the EA clerk. She actually was the clerk all of the fall, so those really wonderful minutes that you approve is the something that Cat produces. She does it tediously through transcribing, listening to the recording is how she's been doing it. So it's doubly impressive. But now she doesn't have a class this semester during this time period, so she can actually attend, although she'll have to sneak out a little bit early. So don't be offended. She's not going to be running away from you because she doesn't like you. Me, on the other hand. So, can you do?
Should I do?
Last name, first name, does it matter?
Doesn't matter. Just as long as we have a record of who's here and who's not.
Imani?
Yeah.
Baba Tunde?
Present.
Matthew? Chad Coates?
Chad is not.
Chris Dawson?
Yeah, he sent a message using the internet.
Oh, okay.
Hey, hey. Here. Nancy?
Nancy, who's me?
Nancy.
Kevin?
Here. Which one?
Fish.
Yeah,
he's just being a jerk.
Tanya. Andrea. Daniela.
No.
Arla.
Here.
Ada. Peggy Anderson.
Yeah.
Is Herc there too?
Herc is not.
I'm not sure.
Laura.
Here.
Jeremy.
That's me.
Christine.
It's here, yeah.
Marjorie.
Yes.
Brandy.
Brandy is excused.
Bruce.
Mm-hmm.
Carrie.
I'm present.
Tammy.
Tammy has actually resigned her position.
Yeah.
Get to that.
No longer with us.
Kathy.
Here.
Ulysses.
Ulysses has resigned his position.
Pilar.
Here.
Shelley.
She said Zoom, but I don't know.
Don't see her yet.
Yep.
Shelly's on. She's just.
Oh, is she? Okay.
Yeah. She's just not on.
Great. Thank you.
Suzanne.
I'm here.
see Wiggers.
Here.
Wiggers. Okay.
Can you tell me how many that is total in attendance, voting members?
You need to not count.
Sixteen voting members. Great, thank you. All right. Are there any late additions to the agenda for today?
I do actually have one for you to consider.
Okay.
I was just reading in The Sun. They had a new article come out about the upcoming smoking referendum. And it even though the headline was specific to students, the body of it was made clear that it's intended for the entire community, that all constituencies would be voting, I guess. And it just occurred to me that I don't really know, I don't have any information to give to my constituents about how that's going to work, what they can expect. There was a potential forum mentioned, and so I was just wondering if we could tack that on, and hopefully someone, Gina or someone else, could give us some an update on what to expect.
Sure, we can add that in there. Gina, do you have information available on that? You're muted.
She's always muted.
Sorry. So the two things. One is the referendum is going to come out of CWC, the Campus Welfare Committee of the UA. So I think there are, I'm not sure who the EA reps are on the UA, but are on the CWC, but those would be the main points of contact as this develops.
Okay.
And then as far as the referendum, once that, the details of that are in place, we'll certainly have all of those details about how it's going to work, what the comment period is, what it actually will mean, and the resolution itself that it's coming from has a response from the president. So there is already some context that would be worthwhile spending some time at another point, or now, whatever you decide.
Okay. Let's add it to new business. We'll kind of see if there's any additional information we can draw from the body, and if not, we'll just make a point to look into that before the next meeting. Okay. Yeah. So. Go ahead.
So, okay. I had received an email from a constituent about supporting a resolution that we had passed previously. But what I garnered from that also was that they wanted an update on portions of the resolution. So as I think about, our role here, is there any sort of system in place that kind of reviews what the progress on past resolutions are? So, I mean, we pass these resolutions, but then what happens after that? How do we measure their success or their impact? So that's kind of what I started thinking about after, I tried to sort of resolve that email.
So I think that's a good discussion to have, and we'll add that to our late editions, and we can have some conversation around that as we go on.
Okay. I was contacted this morning by a constituent who was asking a question, and again, I'm new to the EA, and so I'm not quite sure if this has ever been discussed. And it's about aggressive driving.
Okay.
From the way that they back and forth to work, the morning commute, and this is a particular way that they go, and they said that it's disconcerting because these are folks who obviously have Cornell head tags.
Yeah.
And it's a daily occurrence. And okay. I don't know if it's something that the EA has talked about. He was actually asking for it to be any incidents and reporting incidents, is if there is a way to do that, because whoever's that they are essentially representing Cornell when they have their.
So I think I think there's actually some relation to other conversations in the transportation committee around, particularly around driving habits of people who are readily identifiable, such as TCAT, that drive on campus.
Right.
So I think that's part of a larger conversation we could have, and probably in the transportation committee. So what I would do is have you reach out to the transportation committee.
Christy.
And have that conversation, start the conversation at least there. Okay.
I think
it's something worth having the conversation about.
Right. Because I get the TCAT component.
Right.
But this is an employee connection.
But there is possibly things that we can do to promote a better driving environment, promote better behavior on part of my, or at least our constituencies. And I think that's a good conversation to have through that committee.
Okay.
Okay. Anyone else?
We should probably add in there, very many pedestrians are crossing the streets.
Mm-hmm.
Not at a crosswalk with their phone in their face, yes.
Yeah, they don't look.
So, I think there's a lot of work that the Transportation Committee needs to do, and I think those are great things to add to their agenda.
Okay.
Is there anyone else? Okay.
Just one quick clarification. I thought that transportation committee was just an ad hoc temporary committee.
That is true, and that might change because the level of feedback that we've been getting might be a reason to reconsider that decision and talk about moving forward into a more formalized committee. But I think that's a different conversation. We can certainly add that to either late additions or into our next agenda. But I think that's a valuable conversation to have is based on the response that we've had since we initially established the task force, there might be a larger conversation that we've had that warrants a long-term commitment to a committee for that. But I think that's a separate conversation.
It's a secure term.
Is there anyone else? Okay, so moving into business of the day, as you all are aware, we have an opening for, thank you. Approval of the minutes. Motion to approve. Is there a second for motion to approve? Is there any dissent? Seeing none, the minutes are approved. Now moving on to business of the day. Thank you for that catch. As you all know, we have an opening for the EA chair, and I'd like to do that early on, get that out of the way. Are there any nominations at this point for chair of the EA? Just so that you're aware, if we have somebody elected, they're going to take over right away. So
there's a seat waiting.
Yes. Do we have any nominations?
I nominate Craig.
Craig, do you accept the nomination?
I do accept.
There's a nomination and a second. Do we have any discussion? There are called question on that nomination?
Nope.
Okay. Is there any dissent to voting on appointing Craig?
Was there any
other nominations?
I have not seen any other nominations. Are there any other nominations?
You can self-nominate. You don't
certainly
need to have...
please do.
Anyone?
Without a contest, do we need to do?
No.
We should actually, Craig. I'm going to have you leave the room while we deliberate and have that select.
We should give him an option to make
a statement. Yeah.
Would you like to make a statement?
I'd be happy to make a statement. thank you for the nomination. I am very interested in serving as the chair of the employee assembly. I am very committed to the efforts that the assembly is making on campus in representing all of our constituents. Coming from a background of military service as well as facilities here and now on the academic side, I think that I bring a broad range of perspectives that could be beneficial to that position. So thank you.
Thank you, Craig.
Thank you for stepping
in. Does anyone have any questions for Craig before we continue?
No.
No? Craig, I am going to ask you to just step out for a moment. We'll do the voting then.
I know, it seems silly.
No, it's
very procedural.
I was thinking the same thing, but it's better to do the formal process.
Mm-hmm. So you could just write yes, no, or abstain, if you prefer.
The chair makes
online should submit their vote.
In the chat box.
In the chat box. Should they do that in the public
they
chat
They can do it
box?
In a private if they
in a private window. Yeah. Okay.
So it's yes, no, or abstain.
Private window to... Gina, can we have you accept those?
Can I borrow your pen?
Yes,
Gina doesn't vote.
I can do it. I have the.
Thank you. So please, if you are online, submit your vote privately to Gina, and she will give me the totals.
She won't look at my answer.
Okay, all right.
And this is just a yay or nay, yes or no.
Maybe.
Perhaps.
Could you write it like Bart Simpson?
If you choose to do that, I will find you. I'm sorry.
I will analyze your handwriting.
That's right. And you'll be nominated next.
Thank you.
You will automatically be elected to my position.
I was just sitting here thinking.
So now that you've collected all the votes, can I just say something that you ought to know about Craig?
Oh, wow.
How fair is that?
When I wrote that profile of him in Paw Print, I had one of his former soldiers who had reported to him sent me a wonderful note speaking his praises. And then he ended up following up with that. So the people that have reported to him in the past, it's just amazing the testimonies.
I will tell you, as a former Marine myself, I'm biased. So.
Can I ask what his rank was?
Pardon?
When he left the service, what was his rank? Do you know?
I don't remember. It's in
me.
The article, but I don't remember.
We could ask when he comes back in.
You should ask him to talk a little bit about his military experience, because he has very broad experience.
Mm-hmm. And he's a good bowler.
EA bowler.
He should do a bowling event.
Check the Cornell.
A meeting at the bowling.
My name, Craig.
Not at the bar.
Let's rock.
Should I grab him?
Wait, yeah. Tally.
Oh.
We know what the tally's going to be.
Well, you can come in while she's tallying. We're not discussing.
Have him come.
Sure.
So does he have a nickname?
It's rock and roll.
I don't know.
In the bowling or in the
what's his? I've got some questions.
You've also been elected to the EA bowling team.
Yeah, you're heading the bowling.
Come in.
We have some follow-up questions. Peggy, go ahead.
Oh, right. What's your rank for?
Lieutenant Colonel.
Oh.
Craig, I spilled the beans on you,
Craig,
while you were out.
Congratulations. You have been elected chair by unanimous vote.
Thank you all very much.
So
come on out.
So there you go.
There's a chair right here for you.
Yep.
We will assist you if you need it, because as you've seen, I do. And
adding to all the lists. Right?
I know.
All right. So our next order of business is starting there.
Okay, so we've asked Tanya to give us a presentation, or you have offered to give us a presentation.
It's not quite a presentation, it's a conversation.
Conversation.
But you got something else before
that. We should vote on the EA representative.
The Consensual Relationship Policy Committee.
And if you're not familiar with that, we can probably get Gina to provide a little bit of
background.
Is that correct, Gina? Can we count on you for a little background on the consensual?
Sure.
Okay.
Yep. Are you asking me to do it now? So I think Jeremy, I think you have a roster of candidates that there's one seat for staff on the Consensual Relationships Policy Committee that's being co-chaired by Charlie Van Loan, who's the Dean of Faculty, and a grad student, Anna Wymack, who has been leading the charge on trying to initiate and institute a policy for quite some time. So President Pollack appointed them as co-chairs. They've already been meeting. It was largely due to staff at the UA who really pressed to make sure that staff were included in this, because it was seen initially as a faculty-student issue. When in fact it's a much broader issue than that. So we may be a little late to the game, but we do have one seat, and the idea was to have several representatives from the EA that could go either in rotation or together, making sure that at least one person would be available to go to each of the meetings to ensure the staff voice would be heard. So and the idea is to have a recommendation of a policy to President Pollack on her desk by May 1st. So it's a fairly fast moving committee. It's well formed up. This is one also that President Pollack has stated now in two separate assembly that if the committee doesn't come up with a policy by that time frame, she will actually create one, borrow one from another institution that has one, because she sees it as a critical need for Cornell, that it's long overdue, and in order to protect both the students, the faculty, and the staff, and the reputation of the university, that we need to have such a policy in place. So it's a high-level committee. It will have a lot of reporting back to the EA, hopefully that you can then take back to your constituents, just to make sure that everybody's aware that this is happening. So that's sort of the broad scope of the committee at this point right now. And Jeremy has the slate of candidates to be.
Well, Kevin does.
I was like, wait, I do? Damn it.
So what we did was we opened this up, I think it was like the last EA meeting of December.
Two back.
And really what we wanted to see was people respond back as, you know, that they're interested. So if people don't remember that they did respond back to Kevin, we have four: Daniela, Gina, Pilar, and Laura Johnson Kelly. So those were the four that responded back to us. And so there are the ones that are up on this committee to rotate. And it is up to the four to update each other on where the progress is and what each meeting pertained to. When I talked to Charlie Van Loan, he said he didn't mind if all four showed up.
Right.
But it's only one voting member for that. So that's Kevin's motion to approve the four.
Go ahead. Do we have to select one of them as our voting member? Amongst the four of them, they get a vote. Is that the?
Yeah, we'll see.
I think that'd be smart to not.
Because if that person can't be there that day,
I wasn't
the
sure
one
of the requirement. I just wanted to make sure we were fulfilling the requirement. So I'd second that. Call for discussion.
Call for discussion. Any dissent? Okay, motion's approved.
Well,
okay, then I'll send this to Charlie. I have all the contact information for each person, and then they will reach out to give everybody an updated schedule.
Thank you all very much for volunteering for that position. That's hugely necessary, and I'm really happy that we can cycle a few folks to make sure that we don't miss anything.
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Gina. So now we'll move on to Tanya's discussion presentation.
Sure. So really quickly, my office is responsible for coordinating Staff Development Day. I hope people here are familiar with Staff Development Day. Mm-hmm. We were having a conversation about it the other day with Deb Phillips, who runs that program. And this year is the 20th anniversary. And one of the things that she would like to do is have a keynote speaker for that event. And it got she and I talking about how, I don't remember if it was last year on the EA or maybe the year before, we had talked about having some sort of additional anchor event like we have for the President's Address to Staff, but having a similar type event where we would have some sort of speaker or panel of speakers of leadership at the university. To talk, you know, for staff to have another opportunity to hear from them. And she and I got talking, thinking about what about the possibility of doing something that during Staff Development Day. So we want employees to come to that. It's an opportunity for them to hear about, you know, the many benefits they have to take classes, take some workshops. Cornell is really trying to think now about how employees grow themselves in their career at the university. So it seems like it might be a nice tie-in. If we were to do that, maybe we could offer, if it was in the morning, we could do some sort of, you know, light breakfast, bagels, you know, muffins kind of thing. If it was at lunchtime, maybe we can do a lunch. What I would probably recommend is thinking back to what Christy said earlier in the year when we were talking about budget, that we do that kudos luncheon at the Statler, which is a big chunk of money for a small group of people. And maybe we could talk about taking that big chunk of money and having more people take advantage of it. So something that she and I were just talking about, and I wanted to put a feeler out to the group to see if this is something we'd be interested in. If we are, she and I would put together some sort of proposal and bring it back for consideration. So just want to know what people thought.
because we didn't do the kudos lunch last year.
What is the kudos lunch?
We didn't do it the year right. before either.
No, we did it the year before. We just didn't do it last year. Yeah, we did it the year before.
What is the kudos lunch?
So the kudos lunch is historically we've had a occasionally used email link on our website where employees could write in and say anything from I want to, you know, give a kudos out to one of my coworkers because they helped me with this big project to a my car broke down or my battery died and someone gave me a jump who was another employee. So it was just a way of saying thank you. And anyone who nominated, recognized someone, the person who recognized them and the person who was recognized were invited to a lunch. And we did a nice lunch at the Statler and it ended up being about 40 people, a good chunk of them EA members, which is great because we invited all the EA, but now it's, you know, more than half of them were us at this point. And so does it make sense to put so much money to that luncheon when we can maybe do something and recognize those people who get kudos in another way that's not so expensive and put this towards something that might have a bigger impact across campus?
So what did we do with kudos lunch money?
Doesn't get rolled over, right, Gina?
But did we use?
Or it just gets reallocated?
I'm just curious.
I don't know what happened to it. I don't have the budget.
Because do we have the money in a sense?
So
if it just got eaten up last year, yep. then do we honestly have the money to do another project?
If it's not used, it was just rolled over.
It was rolled over?
Or
it wasn't rolled.
I thought it was eaten up.
So is it, Alec, I guess the question would be, well, two things. Staff Development Day this year is in July, so.
New fiscal year.
So it would be a new fiscal year.
Right, okay.
So it would be something, if it wasn't in the budget for this year.
So you're saying that the kudos is a staff recognition? Mm-hmm. So we have it in our budget this year.
Right.
Yeah.
But it's for next year.
Well, we have it in our budget for this year to do it this year.
Yes.
If we wanted to or not.
Yes, we have 2,200.
Right, which was basically a really nice lunch for about 50 people.
Yeah, we can make more people happy.
Well, that's what I'm saying. With $2,200, we can do 300 lunches or whatever we did for.
Or 500 light breakfasts.
Right, something like that. So to me, it seemed like it fit within some of the conversations we were having earlier about doing more for more employees.
Yeah. So, yes, please.
One of the things that you might want to talk with Deb about, but for my going, the custodial staff usually show up between like the beginning and the early mm-hmm. part, the morning part.
Right.
It would be kind of, I mean, that's like
yeah.
a ton mm-hmm. of people. That mm-hmm. It would be nice to capture that group.
Yeah.
I believe their shift starts at 4 and ends around noon. So that first shift group.
Yeah.
Would it be possible to go ahead and ask Deb then for a proposal that
yeah.
we can bring back to the EA and mm-hmm. vote on that?
Well, okay. Just on the timing thing, a lot of them, you know, technically it's 4:30 or 5 and they're here till 1:30.
Okay, great. Thank you.
So potentially a lunch. I guess it would be interesting to see when their typical lunch hour is for someone who comes in that early.
10:30.
10:30.
Right.
Okay.
Now, do they get a break through the day to come to?
Yeah, that's the 10:30. That is their lunch break.
10:30 to 11, again, it depends on the area that they're in. And that's on the academic side. The folks that are part of SEL or the non-academic side work a different hour structure. So those are folks that work in the residence halls and other aspects of it. I think those folks typically come in at 8:30 and will work until 4.
And Peggy, Bye. To answer your question about the breaks, they do receive a 15-minute break before lunch and then after.
Yeah. So there's different times. But again, there is release time
mm-hmm.
for coming to events and other types of things that are related to the benefits and privileges of employment that we all share.
So they could expand, their meal break hour and come to.
Or just not even consider meal break. It's just they're released for any type of activities. And I think, again, coming to like benefits day or any of those types of things, there's usually release and it's informal and it's done. In, you know, consultation with their supervisor.
Sure. Great. That would be nice.
Right. We look forward to seeing something.
All right. So I'll have Deb and I'll talk some more and then we'll reach out to get on an agenda to talk a little more. Just one other question. Do we have any sense on who we might want to have speak? Do we want, what kind of involvement do we want in this conversation? Are we just money or are we, because I want it to kind of be a partnership. So
yeah, there's a cost for food, so have someone here.
Right, but so in me, I just think about one of our other goals, which is branding and getting our name out there. So I would want it to be like, you know, keynote speaker sponsored by the lunch or breakfast sponsored by the employee assembly. So what kind of investment might we want in this in terms of input, not just money?
I think having a voice in the decision would be terrific, whether it's a single speaker or a panel discussion.
So we'll put something together and then I'll look to you guys to say what direction you might want us to head and find more if somebody wants to get in a little group with us and figure out what to do. I'm open to that.
Great. Thanks, Tanya. Any questions?
Just a comment. Comment for that is, I mean, Gina's here still. Is when we had the president's address. Mm-hmm. Did everybody get a shirt?
We have.
There's a load of shirts.
We have a box of them in our office.
If you need a shirt.
If you want an EA shirt, see the office, the assembly.
We could bring them to the next meeting and be like, we also need to order new name tags for individuals who are not here for that as well, because we had membership. So I can do a little inventory and see who is in the first order comparatively to now. If you'd like us, you know, to order.
Great.
Branding.
One other quick note on the kudos. For those of you that have not seen it, it's a very simple link on the HR webpage where you can nominate somebody for the kudos. So I encourage you to pass it along to your folks, let them know about it, spread the word on it. It's well advertised by HR, but I think sometimes it's overlooked. So it's another opportunity to share the good news of what's going on around campus.
And it's really easy because you just have to, there's no nomination, there's no like letters of support. It's just like, hey, Nancy, let me borrow her pen. I really appreciated that.
So if I could jump in, just to clarify. So based on what you guys just said, it sounds like we want people to do that, but are we actually going to recognize those people? I'm confused. I'm sorry. Because last year we advertised it and then it never happened. So I don't know. I just want to be careful putting the link out.
Yeah, no, I think that's a good question regarding the recognition piece. But regardless of that, the employee's supervisor will be notified. So there's still, that information is still communicated to the individual that has done something that has been shared through the HR website. I think whether or not we choose to have a luncheon will be dependent upon the proposal that Deb and Tanya bring back and how we want to allocate those funds.
Well, we have this year's funds.
Right.
Right. So we do something this year.
Yeah.
Gina. Okay. Thank you.
Gina.
I just have a question. You referenced that the link is on the HR website, and one of the concerns that we've had through the years is that so many of the staff recognition awards are conflated with the ones that HR is doing, and they have a robust team now that's sort of overlooking those. We want to make sure, A, that we're probably, I would encourage you to let us know if we can post that on the employee assembly page on the assembly's website, but also find a way to make sure that if there's need for the Opperman Award and the George Peter Award and the kudos to have brand support from the EA, that's intentional, because right now there's so many different opportunities for staff recognition that the EA sponsorship of this might be lost. So if there's anything that we can do, certainly let me know, and I'd be happy to have that conversation either with Carrie or Tanya or both, or whatever we can do if you feel that's important.
So Kudos is on the EA website, but it just says Kudos program. So maybe we need to figure out how to get some more info to it, because it just says Kudos program. So I can look and see where that is and get it to our page, because it should be primarily on our page.
Great, thank you.
Jeremy.
And have we made contact with HR in an attempt to do some collaboration between HR and the Employee Assembly to kind of jointly promote these things?
So I spoke to Cheryl McGraw. Yeah, Cheryl. I'm like, is it Cheryl? A while back, and we have talked about it, and there are some positives to it, and they are actually looking at redefining how they do their programs. So more to come on that, cool. But I've asked if we can piggyback on some of their stuff and just in promotions and whatever.
Right, well. And to that point, it's not so much piggyback, but we can offer to help support those things. You know, if we give a little value add to HR and say we would actually like to be an active participant in this, I think we could get some really, I'm hoping that we could get some really good collaboration there, and it builds another nice bridge and tie with HR.
Any other comments or questions?
I have a question. Yes. This might be premature, but if we get speakers from ILAR or the Johnson School, do we have to pay them from our budget, or would they do it for free?
That would be a question. It depends on what they would do. Most of our speakers tend to do it because they're here on campus, and so we have to take that into consideration. I don't know that we could support, and I know that they probably can't support paying. Yeah, big dollars for speakers.
Well, Gina has an unlimited budget. So
she's handing out
money bags.
Yeah.
It all goes to our salary.
Sure, miss me. Smirk my coffee.
Okay, great. Thank you very much, Tanya. So we're going to take a look first at old business.
I don't think we have.
There's nothing on the agenda. We had some points that were brought up early in the discussion today regarding new business. Carrie had mentioned the smoking referendum, and this is coming out of the university assemblies with the, I don't know, the CWC?
Campus Welfare Committee.
Welfare Committee. Okay. Is there anything that you'd like to go ahead and further discuss on that?
Are you asking me?
Yes.
Oh, sorry. Well, I mean, if nobody has any additional information, I just was anticipating maybe getting some questions from staff members, and I just wanted to clarify. So this means all employees will be able to vote in the referendum, correct?
That was my understanding from what Gina shared.
Okay.
Yes, that's correct. It'll follow a, there'll be a, the petition, the resolution, whatever, the referendum will be posted, and there'll be a public comment period for the entire university community, after which time, and there's an interface that we will host online so that by your NetID, you'll be able to go on and vote yes or no to the question. The question hasn't yet been drafted, but it will be a yes or no question, and then the response will be submitted to the president as a truly a sense of the body referendum from the community on this measure.
Okay. And my understanding from the Sun article was that the original resolution asked for the referendum to be binding, but the president struck that out somehow or recommended against it.
That's correct. The president did respond. She said that it would not be binding, but they would certainly take that into consideration. It's worth noting that in all of the shared governance, the bodies, actually that's not true. The Faculty Senate has some purview and authority over some academic policies, but everything else is recommendations to the president. So everything, all of the actions of the assemblies are recommendations.
Gotcha. Okay, I just was really trying to clarify because something in that article mentioned that the voting was going to be done in conjunction with the student assembly elections. And so then I was trying to picture how that would work and anticipating some confusion if it was, you know, if the language was directed at students alone. Anyway.
No, it's a good question. If I may, just to clarify, the sponsor of the resolution and who's leading the charge in the CWC is an undergraduate. And they sort of, this Cornell Daily Sun is a student-run newspaper. So the perspective was very much student-centric. The way the a referendum works is it had to reach a threshold from the students in order to become something that they would want to support. And this was all done long ago. So, and then it was picked up by the EA and then the UA did this. So it's ready to go. It doesn't need actually to go through a formal election. They were just tying it to an election season so that, but the article was premature and not actually quite right. Okay. So.
Well, thanks. Okay. Well, I don't have anything else. I was just trying to clarify.
I was just going to say who the staff representatives on the CWC on the Campus Welfare Committee are. Adam. Let's see who else. Bruce. And I think that's it. Linda Kottman is a staff member. She's not an EA appointment, but she's a staff member on that committee as well. So those would all be three-point people who will be really a lot more involved in the details. We'll be supporting it procedurally.
Okay, gotcha. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Laura?
So I just wanted to ask for some clarification. Last year, we looked at Smoke-Free Campus resolution that Bruce was not an EA member then, but I know he was really promoting this. And I'm just wondering what the relationship is between this referendum and that resolution. You know, a little bit more of the history on that, or... Does anybody know what happened with the resolution? I guess is the question.
Okay.
Gina?
Well, the disposition of the resolution, we can look that up. Anybody can look that up on the website. I can look that up in a moment. But when the UA took it up, because their purview is the university community, it doesn't supersede, but in this case, it just expanded the resolution beyond the employee assembly or the student assembly. And so now it is a university-wide referendum coming out of that assembly. But while you're talking about other things, I will look up the disposition of that particular resolution. I'm not quite sure, actually. I don't recall.
And this segues nicely into the second new business, which Hey brought up regarding update on past resolutions and what are the measures of success and impact. And I would defer to some of the members that have been here for a while that might have some information on that, while also noting that through the EA website, you can go ahead and take a look at past resolutions, read through them, see the commentary from the EA membership, any other comments that might have come from the UA, as well as the president's acknowledgement or decision on past resolutions.
The response from the president, of course, is successful and does get sent out to the body of the EA as part of our procedure. As far as following up on actions that happen after the decision by the president, particularly on ones that are accepted by the president's office, as far as I know, and folks can correct me if I'm wrong, we don't have a formalized process on following up on that. My go-to has been Gina and her office to see if they've got leads on what's happened, because they're quite familiar with what else is going on around that. But if anyone else knows of a more formal process of following up on these.
I would like to recommend that as we move forward regarding any of the proposals of new resolutions, that the individuals that have brought the resolution forward kind of act as our point persons to track the outcomes of that. As we look at, for example, the transportation committee, there are several action items that are required or requested and recommended through that referendum. The folks that are representing us through that referendum might be the ones that would make most sense to kind of track the progress of that. Tanya, did you want to?
So the other thing I was going to say, in the past, we have on occasion done like follow-up resolutions or within the resolution itself say that we want. So the initial staff survey resolution we did, we put something in there that said we needed a report once a year on this information. So there is, you know, if something moves, if we send something to the president that we don't know is going to move forward, it might not be the best place to put it. But if she says, yes, we're going to move this up and take action, it might be nice for us to do a follow-up resolution that says we want to report back. Because then we've got something to stand on to say why we're asking.
I also think it would be helpful to have this information about what happens after the resolution to kind of maybe use it as something to sort of email to staff members, like, you know, here's what we've done. This is how it impacts you. Here are the resolutions and how, you know, we've made progress on them, so that there's a way for staff members to see, you know, we're passing these resolutions, but also, you know, this is connected to something. So as I think about the email that I got, it was in regards to resolution 6. So I think Ulysses was working on that. So in this instance, if the person who brought this forward is no longer there, should we try to assign this to somebody else to follow up on, just so that we don't have that break in coverage? So that's something I'm thinking about as we're talking through this.
Gina, did you want to add something?
I did, actually, sort of what Tanya was describing. Oftentimes, and written, if a good strategy, oftentimes when you're asking for information or to be able to track outcomes, is to include a report from whether it's, you know, the committee or an administration, a member of the administration or the president's task force or whatever it might be, on an annual basis or by a particular date, before the resolution is conveyed, so that the president has that as well. Typically, depending on the topic, the president will share the resolutions with members of her senior staff who get the details worked out, and if it's a request for something to be done, making sure that the resolution calls for the follow-up action. Otherwise, because each assembly does turn over every year, the lack of continuity makes it very difficult to do exactly what Hey was suggesting. So we can serve in the capacity of we do maintain, you know, sort of the continuity, but in order to see the effects, it really is incumbent on the assembly itself. And so the more you can write into a fully baked resolution, not, you know, just we want this information, give it to us, and then you tell us what to do. But being the proactive partner in whatever the issue is really will go a long way towards institutionalizing the results. And we can help, but I think the more you can put into the resolution itself is probably helpful.
Jeremy?
So one of the other things that occurs to me, that since each of our resolutions has to come through a committee, if we want to follow up information on a specific resolution, it's probably worthwhile to task the chair of the committee through which that resolution was passed to follow up and gather that information and come back to us. And that's probably working with Gina and the Office of the Assemblies to gather that information. But it's probably one of those, let's make a request, let's have a specific person that we can task with following up and finding some bring back to us.
Great, thank you. Andrea also brought up the question about the aggressive driving. I unless there are other comments from the earlier discussion, I think that the outcome of that was that we take that to the Transportation Committee as another consideration in the large group of elements that they're.
Has it ever been discussed, you know, aggressive driving by obviously Cornell affiliates? Has that ever been brought forward?
There have been some comments about more specifically driving around and around campus and how we handle with pedestrians and that sort of work. I don't know, I don't recall any specific comment towards while you have your Cornell ID permit and you're driving through, you know, Wegmans, how yeah. that is represented. So
this is like a commute, because I was like, where is this coming from? And they're like Coddington area, and how it's a it's called the Coddington 500, like the Indianapolis 500. I don't drive that way, so I can't speak to it. I don't know, but
it sounds like a law enforcement problem.
I was gonna.
They really need.
It's a really law enforcement problem, but this person specifically says that daily he experiences aggressive driving, and they all have Cornell hang tags.
That's a sort of thing
that here like a college.
Yeah.
Let's so, be.
Yeah, I don't. Well.
I, you know, I don't know. It could be a student. I don't know.
And
I don't know. We don't know, but it was something that he brought to me, and he even said we should probably attribute it to a PD. And I'm like, wow, he feels very strongly about this. so I get it, but I think it is a law enforcement. But it's one of those things that, I didn't want to say, no, I'm sorry, we're not going to address it. I brought it here for us to discuss and also to see if it's been discussed in the past.
Can I make a quick comment?
Yes, Laura.
I lived on South Hill for many years and had friends living on Coddington Road, and bicyclists have been hit there, runners have been hit there, walkers have been hit there. There's a Coddington Road Community Center. So I mean, you know, I think people from that area, I'm aware of the problem. I mean, I don't usually.
But it could be IC. It could not, you know, and that's the thing.
But Bridget Brady, who's head of transportation at one of our transportation task force meetings, showed a film clip of one of the intersections on campus. I think it was taken last summer.
Yeah.
And in the space of maybe a minute, there were, I don't know how many near misses, almost, you know, cars almost hitting pedestrians, et cetera. I mean, they're aware of reckless driving on campus, but reckless pedestrian behavior also, just sort of walking out in front of a moving car and, you know, I know that they are concerned about that because I don't know what steps they're thinking about using to address it. But I agree with what Peggy said about, you know, if there are noted problems on one stretch of the road, the sheriff's office has been, you know, very, very good about nabbing speeders lately since the end of the summer, you know, in that whole Willsyville area. So, you know, I think a well-placed call to them might be helpful. I mean, you might suggest your constituent call and give specific examples of exactly where and exactly when and exactly what they're seeing, because
right.
I've seen a lot more law enforcement of traffic infractions in that area lately.
Okay.
Hey, Jeremy.
So I think there's a couple of separate issues that can be addressed here, some of which we can address, some of which we can't.
Right.
So I'm very much in agreement that particularly for specific areas outside of campus where there's a recurring threat, that should be notified to local police, and they can help take care of it. There's also something that we can talk about, which I think is a larger conversation on generating a better culture on campus, on how we drive, a better awareness. I know that's an ongoing project that's happened for many years now, which is part of the reason why we've seen videos like that at particular intersection is starting to try to adjust that culture. And I think that's a conversation we need to continue and a pressure that we need to continue keeping up for improving our culture of what's acceptable, what's not acceptable in and around campus.
Kevin?
As the town supervisor, it is my recommendation that the person goes to the town, to the board, and then has the board contact law enforcement. And they'll sit there. They'll do it if the town requests it quick.
The town of Ithaca.
Yep, that usually will incur.
Okay.
Yes, Gina.
I find this very interesting, and I guess my thought on this, and I'm going to put on my community member hat as opposed to the Office of the Assembly's hat, is what can we do as a community here to be better ambassadors of Cornell. And one of the outlets that I've found through the years to be very effective in terms of, it was a sort of a kind and gentle reminder, are Chief Zoner's blue light messages that come out every Friday. Whether the message comes from her, whether it's a partnership, whether there's something that we can do to at least call out to the community that, hey, we see you, this is a problem, let's do that before we start turning in our colleagues and peers to the sheriff's office.
License plate 7428.
That's next.
No, thank you for that, Gina. And I think the other piece too is sharing the message face to face with your colleagues in the office, and by setting the right example for others in your own behavior on the roads. So yeah, it's I think it will probably be a continual challenge, but we can always do our part to try to advance safer driving and safer pedestrian action on the campus. Are there any other comments with regard to new business?
Well,
yes.
My only comment, really, because, I mean, we're on environmental health and safety. We're on campus every day, roughly around 8 hours a day. And what we find is, and I don't know if this is true, but say freshman orientation, you know, does anybody ever talk to them about crossing the walks and stuff? I know CU Police is now starting to give tickets for people texting while walking without looking and stuff. So they are starting to issue, you know, that type of stuff. But, you know, that's one of the things that you look at is, you know, is there some education that they give them?
Some proactive.
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, a car, you know, it's very unforgiving.
There's a difference between a right-of-way and immortality.
You know, and it's the same way. But I think, you know, the education starts from the beginning. But I don't even know if students are ever taught that. I mean, even when it comes to, you know, students with their vehicles, you know, just doing illegal things in intersections, you know, taking a U-ey on a four-way, you know, interchange with lights. It's like they don't care. I don't know if it's they don't care or what, but I think it has to do with education up front.
And because they're 20 and think they're immortal.
Just saying.
Yep.
Okay, so we'll go ahead and move to committee reports. Carrie, Communications Committee.
Okay, well, let's see. Start with, where will I start? Those of you that are on the Communications Committee, you probably saw a bunch of calendar invites. I got the meetings set up through the rest of the term, if you want to call it that. And so you should see those. Our next meeting is next Wednesday, February, I'm going to say it's the 7th. I think that's correct. Yes. At noon. We have already a couple of people that have been working on feature content for future newsletters, Adam and Chris. And Marjorie, we're going to get back with you and hopefully refine that concept for the employee degree program. Chris did a lot of work on that. I don't know if you saw his draft, but I'll make sure all the dots are connected and we can work on that. So we've got some juices flowing content-wise. We sent out our first newsletter to staff last week. And it got a great open rate, so that was good. So I know we have open power. Let's see, what are our numbers? Currently, we have over a 34% open rate, which is really good. So we know now that as long as we figure out and tinker with messaging and figure out what people are interested in, we know we can get people to open those emails. So we just have to figure out the right magic formula for getting people engaged. One of the primary pieces of content in there was a transportation poll. We have what I consider to be a really good response rate, especially relative to our first priority poll at the beginning of the year. That only got about 200, a little less than 250 responses. We have currently 1,270 something responses, which relative to our mailing list is about a 15% response rate. So
that's awesome.
That is good. Yeah.
Pretty happy with that. And you might be interested to know that several people did bring up the pedestrians jumping out into the road. I haven't seen anything about aggressive driving in there, but there may be something. We have about, I don't know an exact number, but somewhere between 500 and 600 actual substantial comments from people. So there'll be a lot of work going into coding those and analysis and stuff like that. But we got a lot of really good feedback. You know, it's an interesting one because I think some people are so I don't know, in a negative place about the parking and transportation on campus that you know, I feel like a lot of people think, well, nothing's ever gonna change. But I was really happy to see a lot of solution-oriented thinking in there, and I will be tagging them solutions. I think it would be really cool to go over as a group one way or the other, whether that starts in the transportation committee or not, but there's a lot of solution problem solvers that responded. And they may not all be great, you know, executable ideas, but at least they gave us ideas and they're thinking about solutions. So I feel good about that. Let's see. We have our schedule for mailings. It'll be it's generally the last Thursday of the month. So our next mailing will be the 22nd of February. We already have a couple of things on the docket for content. Including coverage of the big surprise award winner. I can't remember the name of the award now, but that's on there. If anybody else has ideas, I know Jeremy mentioned the ombudsman. If anyone else has something to contribute to the newsletter, we're always open to that. So just drop us a line, drop me a line, whatever you want.
So that was Sarah Gould.
Yeah.
For the Opperman Staff Advocacy Award.
Yeah.
There you go.
And she doesn't know, so don't tell her.
So don't, yeah. Oh,
right.
Don't say.
And we're
so
all,
if you know
we're
her, don't tell her.
With,
no, I don't know.
We're all set with paw print coverage for that, right, Tanya?
Yes.
Yes, okay. And we have a photographer ordered already.
Awesome. That's all I have.
Great. Thank you very much, Carrie. That's an outstanding review of some good communication going on across campus. I think any time that we are able to see some of the success rates, particularly the open percentages, that's fantastic and will help spread the word. So, all right. Any questions for Carrie? Okay, next, Employee Education and Development Committee.
That will be me. So apparently everyone knows the next meeting. so yeah, I know. So I'm away next week, so we couldn't schedule it there. February 21st? Yeah, just remind me. February 21st, Wednesday, is our first meeting coming back. And we're going to continue a conversation that we had through email about certain surveys and all that stuff and getting staff feedback. And then also working with in the way of marketing and promoting the employee degree program and kind of, I guess, highlighting people that staff members that have graduated and that it can be done and also being able to have a platform for communication for people that are considering doing it. Mm-hmm. So I think we talked about like Facebook, like social media, and also and on the website, because I think that's part of the problem is a lot of people just don't know what's available to them. They don't know what's feasible. And so I think that's one of the things that we've kind of discovered. So yeah, I think that's it.
One very quick story to share, a success story regarding the employee degree program. One of the interpreters that served the U.S. military in Iraq is now an employee here at Cornell and serves on the building care crew. And while he was working full-time as a custodian, he earned his master's degree from Cornell. So, you know, can do it. And so there are some really unique success stories out there of our colleagues that have done
well,
this.
Well, even Cornell will even help to fund if you take a degree off campus.
Yeah.
Because I went to Binghamton and they paid a pretty good portion of that.
Fantastic.
Very helpful.
And I think the person that you know is an ideal example, because I think a lot of people don't think that being part of the custodial staff that you have these opportunities.
Yes. Right.
And they think they're kind of, we're not part of the academic, you know, staff. How can we be able to do that? And so I think that's something that we like to have his name.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I can get that too.
Yeah, great. Okay. Okay.
His first name is Dia.
Okay,
Dia Waleed.
All right, great.
So, Jeremy.
So, a bit tangential to that, but having just started the EDP myself, one of the things that I think we could promote better or work with the folks in the EDP to do better is more clearly identify the cost to employees for the EDP. It took, I'm pretty good at this too. It took me a lot to figure out how much it's actually going to cost me to complete my degree through the EDP. And for some of us, the difference of a few thousand dollars a year makes quite a lot of difference. So.
And also the idea of, not the idea, but that how much you get taxed. If there's a certain amount.
The tax liabilities.
Yeah, if it's more than 5,200 something.
Which is any class you take.
Yeah, and people don't know that. So I think this is something that working maybe with HR too of kind of making that more accessible.
More clear and more defined. Because it took me a lot of research and a lot of back and forth between multiple departments and groups to get a clear idea of what that cost was going to be. So
I might recommend that we ask Maureen Roll to come in. Mm-hmm. If we want to know more specific about that, she's the person who can say it's this percentage of this. And it's different for graduate and undergraduate degrees. It's different for the online degree.
Well, I can tell you that it's take the annual cost for the program, divide by 12, and that gets you your per credit cost. Take your per credit cost and multiply it by the number of credits you're taking annually. The total cost minus $5,290, which is the amount that you get deducted, is the amount that's taxable. And then you tax at income rate, which is 30%, and that gets you how much your annual cost in taxes is.
So Marjorie can spearhead that.
Beyond,
it's a complicated situation.
And beyond that, you're then responsible for books and program
fees. That's
why I got
humanities.
From the program, so.
Right. Yeah, so there's all kinds of different things.
Yes, Carrie.
If I could just throw out a suggestion, I don't know if it's worthwhile or not, but just in my regular job, I run the university's video website, Cornellcast. You may or may not have ever heard that. But we work with ILR and the vet school with it, a couple of units on campus to do programs that are essentially webinars that are interactive, they're live, and people can write in their questions to be addressed by the expert on camera. And ILR does it. They basically have like a couple people in a room, a nice looking room, and there's not a lot of setup involved. So it's a lower cost type of thing. The vet school and some others have done bigger events where there's actually
an audience present there too. So there's that people can come and be there in person for the presentation and the Q&A, and also join remotely. So there are a couple of different ways of doing it, but I would say for any of the committees where there's a big bunch of information that has to be sort of untangled and figured out, it's an option at least to consider doing some sort of webinar style thing that we could advertise and help answer people's questions.
Great, thank you, Carrie.
Okay.
For everybody in the interest of time, I would like to ask that we go by exception for the following committees. So if committee chairs have something to report, please let's start in order, Employee Welfare Committee.
I'm about to do a roll call because I had heard that the time we decided on last semester for everybody.
Okay.
And, you know, so people who are on that committee will hear about, we'll do the poll, we'll figure out a time that's maximally optimal for the most number of people. We've got two resolutions.
Great. Thank you, Laura. Elections Committee.
We have nothing to report as of from the last meeting. We still have the dates. Everything's been approved. And I'll be working with the Office of Assembly to make sure, especially now we have another spot available.
Great. Personnel Policy Committee.
It met last Thursday and we pulled out the, and we just talked about two pending resolutions that will be coming up from the Welfare Committee.
Great. Thank you. Staff Recognition and Awards.
We have an event on February 8th. And thank you for those of you who are going to join us. And if you find it last minute that you can, just come anyway.
Quick question. Is there like a staging area you want us in? Because it's supposed to be a surprise.
So she'll come in. So we're working on the details of that. And surprise, Craig, guess what? You get to speak.
All right.
Just you know, I can give you a canned speech that you could modify. I mean, make it nice and easy for you.
All right.
But essentially, they're going to she thinks she's going to a fictitious meeting.
Okay.
She's going to come to the meeting, and they'll probably just say, we invited the EA here to talk about a few things, and then you can launch
it
to your spiel. Boom, you turn it over to Mary. Mary says a few words, and it goes on to them.
Fantastic. Okay, yep. Great. Transportation Task Force, Christine's out. Yep. Anybody have anything they want to add?
But I'm going to throw in something in there. I'm on the Transportation Task Force, but it has nothing to do with that. So just to let everybody know, because I wanted the word to get out to as many people as we can, is that the Transportation Hearing and Appeals Board is now up and running, and it hasn't been in effect since 2014. So this is another avenue for people to appeal tickets, blah, 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 and stuff. And the only reason why it is because Employee Assembly. We're the only ones on there except for one undergrad, the Faculty Senate. There's no newspaper. Okay. Faculty Senate, they've dropped the ball because they're supposed to be represented. Graduate students, professional students, supposed to drop, you know, they dropped the ball. So far on this 12 panel board, we've got four. In order to hear, we have to have three out of the 12 panel board.
Oh.
So we can now do it. We had the training and stuff like that. I put out to the UA that they're kind of lacking in their getting people and stuff. So it is up and running, and we are getting ready to start hearing appeals.
And I can tell you that information has been sent out repeatedly to the other constituent groups. There is little else that can be done.
So if Kevin sees them coming and wanting to appeal, and
they're not going to prove it.
You're not on the board, sorry. People aren't dragging their feet. Yeah.
I was just trying to understand. So for those people that have been complaining or, well, commenting about the process of appeals and that they try, but that their appeal is never, approved or whatever, there, people commenting about the process, what was the process previously if there was no appeals board between 2014 and now?
It would be dropped to there is no other avenues. So transportation issues the ticket. The person that did the infraction can go and appeal it for the first time. If that gets denied as well, then they can bring it up to us. So the appeals
board. I see. So it's a second chance. Second chance.
And right now, yeah. And then it's pretty much up to the board that transportation has nothing to do with it.
Oh. Could you send me a write-up on that for the newsletter, maybe?
Yep, and I can tell you anecdotally from past experience that a vast majority of those appeal requests that go to transportation the first time are just rejected, regardless of situation.
Okay, so we're out of time. So we'll go ahead and adjourn the meeting. Do I have a second?
Second.
All right, meeting's adjourned. Have a great day.
Congratulations, Greg. Yeah.
Thanks.
You
survived.
Sounds good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And now you'll make sure.